Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Matot. A programming note, next week, for everyone who lives outside of Israel, you'll be catching up to the Israeli Parsha schedule, since you'll have a double Parsha next week, while we won't, so that way you'll catch up. This week is the Israeli schedule. We're on Matot with Rabbi Howard Marcos. Rabbi Marcos is a member of the Pardes faculty. And now, Rabbi Howard Marcos.
Thank you, Larry. Listening is a skill that I would call an invaluable commodity. We all could benefit from listening more to what others have to say, and it would be so nice to feel that others are really listening to us when we are speaking with them. In the opening chapters of our Torah, in the book of Bereishit, Genesis, we are exposed to a story in which listening plays a major part in the ultimate outcome. I'm referring to the verbal exchange between Eve and the serpent, which is recorded in Bereishit chapter 2. We are taught that God informs Adam that there is a tree in the middle of the garden whose fruit is off limits to him. He is not to eat from that fruit, Adam is warned, lest he die. The text reads, Vayitzav Adonai Elohim al ha'adam lemor, mikol etz hagan achol tochel, umeetz hadat tov ara lo tochal mimenu, ki beyom acholcha mimenu mot tamut. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden you are free to eat, but as for the tree of knowledge of good and bad, you must not eat of it, for as soon as you eat of it, you shall die. Immediately following this scene, we are introduced to Eve, who is fashioned from Adam's rib. We are informed by the text that Adam calls her woman, because she was taken from man, a play on words that is possible in Hebrew and in English, but it turns out with very few other languages in the world. The text does not report that Adam shared with Eve God's commandment, even though there are certainly places in our biblical text that take the time to quote passages like that which might have been reported. And Adam said to his wife Eve, God told me that the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden is not to be eaten. We have no such verse in our text. At any rate, the next scene in our story introduces the serpent, who engages Eve in conversation about the tree. Did God really say, You shall not eat of any tree of the garden? Asks the serpent. In Genesis, in Bereishit, chapter 3, verse 2, we read the woman's reply. Vatomer ha'isha el hanachash, mipri eitz hagan nochel, umipri ha'etz asher betoch hagan amar Elohim, lo tochlu mimenu, velo tig'u bo, pen temutun. The woman replied to the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the other trees of the garden. It is only about fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden that God said, You shall not eat of it or touch it, lest you die. Who did Eve listen to in order to receive the commandment as it was issued? Did she hear directly from God? Or was her knowledge of the rules of the garden based on Adam relaying the information that was given to him by the divine? What prompted the woman to include a no-touching clause in the injunction? Did the man tell her what was allowed and what wasn't, in spite of the fact that conversation between man and woman is conspicuously missing in our text? All we have to go on is what is stated in our Torah, and there it seems to me that Eve knew the rules as God had explained them to Adam at a time before she was created, and she simply embellished. The keen serpent listened closely to Eve's words and was able to ask just the right question based on the slight difference in the formula of what was allowed and what wasn't allowed to trick her into tasting from the fruit of the forbidden tree. The majority of the commentators wish to tell us that this fall from grace as a result of disobeying God is a terrible thing. I would like to suggest that the lesson to be learned from this episode is that using acute listening skills can be one of the best ways to achieve one's goals. This introduction of mine brings us to our Torah portion of this week, Parashat Matot, which begins with a number of casuistic laws regarding whether a father or husband is legally allowed to annul the declared vows of his wife or daughter. Without getting into the details, and without casting judgment on the ancient legalities presented in the beginning of chapter 30 of Bamidbar of Numbers, it can be noted that the word for hearing, listening, with the Hebrew word shin root shin mem ayin, is found in this section 9 times. Again, there would be no chance for a ruling on the matter of the value of these utterances were the husband not to listen or hear what is being said by members of his family, as a result of which he responds by either being silent or choosing to annul the vows. In addition, at the end of our parasha, we have another example of the importance of listening. Please recall that as the Israelites are nearing the stage in their wanderings in which they will be entering the land of Canaan, hoping to capture the land with God's help, there happen to be two tribes whose leaders think that the land for grazing on the east side of the Jordan River might be better for their cattle and sheep. Leaders from the tribes of Reuven and Gad approach Moshe and make an unprecedented request. In chapter 32, we find them asking Moshe for permission to remain on the eastern side of the Jordan River. Realizing that they would be perceived as abandoning the entire nation, were they to be allowed to settle there, they offered to be chalutzim, what JPS translates as shock troops, and what I would like to translate as front runners, as the word is used in modern Hebrew to describe the forwards on a soccer team, chalutzim. They would agree to send their able-bodied men into the promised land and help capture the land on behalf of the other tribes, and only when that task was completed would they return to their homes east of the Jordan. Their offer is found in chapter 32, in verse 16. Following Moshe's reaction to their request to remain behind, which includes a scolding from God and from Moshe for separating from the community, the Torah tells us, Vayikshu elav vayomru gidrot zon nivne lemikneinu po ve'arim letapenu va'anachnu nechaletz chushim lifnei bnei Yisrael ad asher im havionum el mekomam. Then they stepped up to him and said, we will build here sheepfolds for our flocks and towns for our children, and we will hasten as shock troops in the van of the Israelites until we have established them in their home. Moshe was listening quite closely to the proposal. He noted, as Rashi, quoting the very old Midrash Tanchuma, teaches us, Nivne l'miknenu po. Chasim hayu al mamonam yoter mibneihem uvnotehem. Shehikdimu miknehem l'tapam. Amar lahem Moshe lochen. Asu ha'ikar Ikar, ve'atafel, tafel. Bnu lachem tchila arim letabchem, ve'achar ken gederot letzonchem. Rashi's comment is that they paid more regard to their property than to their sons and daughters because they mentioned their cattle before their children. Moses said to them, not so. Make the chief thing, and what is subordinate, subordinate. First build cities for your little ones, and afterwards enclosures for your flocks. Moshe understood that the motivating factor behind the two tribes' request was the locating of a superior place for their animals to graze. In their offer, they placed the welfare of the cattle and sheep before their children, saying, Gidrot zon nivne lemikneinu po ve'arim letapenu. And instead of scolding them for their questionable prioritization, Moshe takes the opportunity to be their teacher and their guide. First of all, by agreeing to their request, and in addition, he attempts to assist the leadership in understanding what is really important. In verse 24, we read Moshe's response. Benu lachem arim letapchem, ugderot letzona'achem, v'hayotze mipichem ta'asu. Build towns for your children and sheepfolds for your flocks, but do what you have promised. Moshe stipulates that the agreement will be in place only if the two tribes look after the welfare of their children, and only after that, their livestock. Moreover, the two tribes listen carefully to Moshe's constructive adjustment to the conditions and respond quite properly when they say, Avadecha ya'asu ka'asher Adoni mitzaveh. Your servants will do as my Lord commands. They continue, Tapenu, Nashenu, Miknenu, V'chol behemtenu yiyu sham be'arei ha-gilad. Our children, our wives, our flocks, and all our other livestock will stay behind in the towns of Gilad. They listen to Moshe and place their children and their wives first in the order of their priorities. There are three aspects to the listening that we encountered in our Torah text today. The first is the importance of listening as a tool to facilitate a successful conversation and exchange of ideas. When we let another person know that their words and their thoughts and feelings are important because our response to them shows that we are paying attention, the most likely reaction to that situation is a sincere attempt by the other person to listen to us, which may even result in a change of positions. Secondly, if we acknowledge that we may not always be accurate in the way that we see the world, it is quite possible that listening to others will help us to better understand the context of a situation, thereby providing us with more information with which we can make decisions. To listen is to be open to new information that might bring us to changing our approach. It might be one of the more contagious of behaviors as well. Finally, the serpent, Moshe, and the two tribes of Reuven and Gad engaged in conversations that the biblical text found important enough to record. Our close study of the text is another way for us to listen to what is being communicated by the biblical characters from whom we can learn so much. Context, openness to change, and caring about the one who is speaking are all results of sincere listening, a blessing that we could all use to receive. I'd like to conclude this podcast with a story. One day, an old man was casually walking along a country lane with his dog and his mule. Suddenly, a speeding pickup truck careened around the corner, knocking the man, his mule, and his dog into the ditch. The old man decided to sue the driver of the truck, seeking to recoup the cost of the damages to him and to his animals. At the trial, the old man was on the stand, and the counsel for the defense cross-examined him as follows. I'd like you to answer yes or no to the following question. Did you or did you not say at the time of the accident that you were perfectly fine? The old man answered, Well, me and my dog and my mule were walking along the road. The counsel for the defense said, Stop, stop. I asked you to provide a yes or no answer. Did you or did you not say you were perfectly fine at the time of the accident? The man replied, Well, me and my dog and my mule were walking along the road and... The defense attorney appealed to the judge. Your Honor, he said, would you please instruct the witness to answer the question? The judge said, I think he obviously wants to tell us something. I'm going to let him speak. And so the man said, Well, me and my dog and my mule were walking along the road, and this truck came around the corner far too fast and knocked us into the ditch. The driver stopped, got out of his truck, saw my dog was badly injured, went back to his truck, got his rifle, and he shot my dog. He then saw that my mule had broken his leg, and he shot her too. Then he turned to me and said, "How are you doing?" And I answered, "I'm perfectly fine." May we always be blessed with eyes that can see, but just as importantly, ears that can listen to the words of those around us.
Thank you, Rabbi Marcos. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you in the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.